بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We begin by praising Allah, the mighty and exalted. We ask Him to raise the rank of His Prophet and final messenger to all of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad. And we ask Him to raise the rank of His family and companions and followers until the Day of Judgment, and may He grant all of them an abundance of peace. By the blessings of Allah Ta'ala alone, we have managed to study the explanation of Surah Al-Dhariyat, the great surah from the Qur'an, from the explanation of the magnificent scholar, the Rabbani Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala. And in our first three lessons, by Allah's grace and permission, we have reached the 24th verse. And in today's class, the night preceding Tuesday, the 25th of Rajab, the year 1434, we will study, by Allah's permission, the 24th through the 30th verses from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen for Surah Al-Dhariyat. It will begin with the 24th verse. Allah Ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Has the news or the report of the noble guests of Abraham reached you? And I do apologize this evening, for in the background we have a great gathering of mashayikh and students of knowledge here in Jeddah, and I have secluded myself off to the side to fulfill our appointment and to broadcast this English lesson at this time. So you will hear some lectures or something in the background. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to facilitate our lesson and their lesson with ease and with barakah. Our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen says, Al-Khitabu, this address, have you heard, who is you in this address? Laysa lil-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fahasb. It's not just addressed to the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace alone. بَلْ لَهُ وَلِكُلِّ مَنْ يَتَأَتَّى خِطَابُهُ وَيَصِحُ تَوْجِيهُ الْخِطَابِ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, it is for him and for every single person that the address reaches, and that it is possible to direct him and address him with this speech. كَأَنَّهُ قَالَ, as if he said, هَلْ أَتَاكَ أَيُّهَا الْمُخَاطَبُ. As if he said, oh you listener, has this reached you? حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. The report about the guests of Abraham, the noble and honored guests of Abraham. وَالِسْتِفْهَامُ هُنَا لِلْتَشْوِيقِ. And the question being proposed here is to lead the people into being interested and to incite their interest in the subject. كَأَنَّهُ يُشَوِّقُكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَسْمَعَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. As if he is, as if Allah Ta'ala is inciting you, placing passion within you, an interest to hear this narration. وَنَذِيرُهُ فِي التَّشْوِيقِ. وَنَذِيرُهُ فِي التَّشْوِيقِ. And a similar narration like this, that also incites interest or draws interest to a topic. قوله تعالى is his statement, Allah's statement, the Most High. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O you who believe, shall we guide you to a transaction that shall save you from a painful torment? The 10th verse of Surah As-Saff. لَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِهَذَا الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ أَنَّهُ يَسْتَفْهِمْ. The meaning of this question is not that information is being sought by Allah from the listener. لَكِنَّهُ أَرَادَ أَن يُشَوِّقَ الْمُخَاطَبِينَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. However, Allah intended to draw interest, draw the interest of the listeners to the subject. وَيَكُونُ الْإِسْتِفْهَامُ لِلْتَهْدِيدِ وَالْإِنذَارِ وَالْتَخْوِيفِ. And it's also possible that Allah asks questions in the Qur'an to warn with a punishment, or to threaten with punishment, or to warn of a punishment, or to cause fear in His servants. فِي مِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. In the likes of His statement, and He's the Most High, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Have you heard the narration about the غاشية, the overwhelming? وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. Faces on that day are going to be humbled and lowly. That's the opening of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ. And if a person was to ask, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ يَدُلُّنَا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِسْتِفْهَامَ لِلْتَشْوِيقِ. What is it that actually tells us that the question here is being asked to draw interest? أَوْ لِلْتَهْدِيدِ. Or in other places, to warn of punishment, or to promise punishment. أَوْ لِلْإِسْتِخْبَارِ. Or to ask a question. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ. And other things like that. What is it that distinguishes the question being posed in each case? نقول, we say, الَّذِي يَدُلُّنَا عَلَى هَذَا السِّيَاقُ وَقَرَائِنُ الْأَحْوَالِ. That which teaches us that, or instructs us, or guides us to that understanding, is the general context and all the clues surrounding that text. وَالْعَاقِلُ يَفْهَمُ هَذَا وَهَذَا. And the intelligent person of intellect can understand this and that. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ أَيْ خَبَرُ. Has the hadith, has the narration come to you? Meaning the story or the report. ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. The guests of Ibrahim. ضَيْفُ يُرَادُ أَهُنَا مُفْرَدُ. Guest, the word guest here is used in a singular sense. ضَيْف. The plural of ضَيْف is ضُيُوف. لَكِنَّهُ يَسْتَوِي فِيهِ الْجَمَاعَةُ وَالْوَاحِدُ. However, the word ضَيْف can be used in Arabic to mean one or a group of guests. وَهُمْ جَمَاعَةٌ مَلَائِكَةُ كِرَامٌ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. They are in fact a group of angels, noble angels. May Allah raise their rank and grant them peace. ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The guests of Abraham. يعني الَّذِينَ نَزَلُوا ضُيُوفًا عِنْدَهُ. Those who came and they stayed in his house as guests. وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ الْخَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And Abraham, he is the special friend, the prophet and messenger who holds the status of being called the Khalil, the special friend of Allah, the special ally of Allah. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَهُوَ أَبُو الْعَرَبِ. And he is the forefather or the grandfather of all of the Arabs. وَأَبُو بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And he is also the grandfather of all of the children of Israel. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Just as Allah the Most High has said in Surah Al-Hajj, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. The religion of your forefather, Abraham. هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبَلُ. He's the one who named you Muslims before. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَمَرَنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَن نَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُ. And he is the one whom Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to follow his religion. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High has said, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And then we revealed to you with revelation that you are to follow the religion of Abraham, the upright religion. And Abraham had never been of the polytheists. And that's the 123rd verse of Surah An-Nahl. وَلِهَذَا دَعَتِ الْيَهُودُ أَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَهُودِي. And this is why the Jews claimed that Abraham was a Jew. وَالنَّصَارَى اِدَّعُوا أَنَّهُ نَصْرَانِي. And the Christians claimed that he was a Christian. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى كَذَّبَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ. However, Allah, the Most High, had rejected their reports regarding that and declared them to be liars regarding that issue. فقال. And he said, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. Abraham was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. However, he was an upright Muslim. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he had not been of the polytheists. That's the 67th verse of Surah Ali Imran. يقول الله عز وجل, Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. The next ayat. When the guests entered into Abraham's house and they said, سَلَامًا. They gave salams. يَحْتَمِلُ أَنَّ إِذْ دَخَلُوا. It's possible that the phrase, إِذْ دَخَلُوا, when they entered, مُتَعَلَّقٌ بِقَوْلِهِ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. يعني الذين أكرمهم حين دخولهم عليه. Meaning those that were honored. The reference here is those who entered, they were honored at the time of their entrance. وَيَحْتَمِلُ. Another possible way to understand this verse, وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَنَّهَا مَفْعُولٌ لِفِعْلٍ مَحْذُوفٌ وَالتَّقْدِيرُ أُذْكُرْ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And it could be as well, إِذْ دَخَلُوا, when they entered, not that they were honored when they entered, but here, remember when they entered. Allah Ta'ala requests us to remember when these guests entered the house of Abraham. فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. And they said, salams. قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. And he said, Abraham said, salam. He gave salams as well. And he said, قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. People whom I don't know. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. أَيْ نُسَلِّمُ سَلَامًا. Their statement, سَلَامًا. And those of you who know Arabic grammar, you know that that's mansub. So what made it mansub? أَيْ نُسَلِّمُ سَلَامًا. We give you salams. We give you the salams. Meaning it is the maf'ul masdar. وَعَلَيْهِ فَسَلَامًا مَصْدَرْ عَامِلُهُ مَحْذُوفٌ وَالتَّقْدِيرُ نُسَلِّمُ. And that's a point about Arabic structure, that salaman is understood to be نُسَلِّمُ سَلَامًا. We give you salams. قَالَ سَلَامٌ. He responded by saying سَلَامٌ. Notice it's not mansub here. It's مَرْفُوع. سَلَامٌ with two dhammas. قَالَ سَلَامٌ مُبْتَدَى خَبَرُهُ مَحْذُوفٌ. Salam is the beginning of a statement and its predicate, it's the subject of a sentence, and its predicate is not mentioned. وَتَقْدِيرُ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ. And its evaluated or possible meaning that is not mentioned but is intended is upon you be peace. وَعَلَى هَذَا فَيَكُونَ تَسْلِيمُ هُنَا ابْتِدَاؤُهُ بِالْجُمْلَةِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ. So based on this understanding, the first salam given by the angels was given with a verbal sentence. And those of you who've studied Arabic, you know the difference between a jumla fi'liya and a jumla ismiya. So here, the angels said salama, which is a verbal sentence, nusallimu salama. وَجَوَابُهُ بِالْجُمْلَةِ الْإِسْمِيَّةِ. And Ibrahim responded with a nominal sentence, a noun-based sentence, saying salamun, meaning salamun alaykum, beginning with a noun. وَالْجُمْلَةُ الْإِسْمِيَّةُ تُفِيدُ الثُّبُوتَ وَالْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. And the nominal sentence, the sentence beginning with a noun in Arabic, one of the benefits of it, or the benefit of it, is that it has a meaning, it includes a meaning of continuous and stable action. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهُ. And based on this, the scholars have said, may Allah have mercy on them, إِنَّ رَدَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَكْمَلُ مِنْ تَسْلِيمِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That the response of the salams given by Abraham was more complete than the salams offered by the angels. لِأَنَّ تَسْلِيمَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ جَاءَ بِالصِّيغَةِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ. Because the greeting given by the angels was given in a verbal sentence, وَرَدُّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ جَاءَ بِالصِّيغَةِ الْإِسْمِيَّةِ. And the response of Abraham came with a nominal sentence which has a richer meaning of an ongoing action, something that remains and stays. قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. A people whom I don't know. قَوْمٌ خَبَرُ. خبر مبتدا محذوف. The word قوم here is the beginning of a sentence that has a predicate which is not mentioned. And it is وَالتَّقْدِيرُ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ. Or it's the خبر, I'm sorry, it is the predicate of a beginning noun that is not mentioned, and that is أَنْتُمْ. أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ إِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ. And he only referred to them as a قَوْم لِأَنَّهُمْ بِصُورَةِ الْبَشَرِ, as they appeared as a group of men, humans. وَقَوْلُهُ مُنْكَرُونَ, unknown to me, أي غَيْرُ مَعْرُوفِينَ, someone or people whom I do not know. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah the Most High has said, فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. As Allah said in Surah Hud, when he saw that their hands were not reaching out for the food, or they were not reaching the food, نَكِرَهُمْ, he considered them to be unknown. Something unknown was happening here, and he became disturbed, and he became frightened. He felt some fear from them. في هذه الآية شاهد لحذف المبتدا. In this verse there is a grammatical proof for the removal of the مبتدا, the beginning noun of a sentence. وحذف الخبر, and also to remove the خبر, the predicate. والشاهد لحذف خبر سلام. والشاهد لحذف الخبر سلام. عفواً. And the reference point or the proof for the ability to remove a predicate from a sentence in Arabic and still keep the meaning intact is the phrase سلامٌ لأن التقدير, because the meaning is عليكم سلامٌ, which is a complete sentence in the grammatical sense or the structural sense. والشاهد لحذف المبتدا, and the proof that you can take away the beginning noun of a nominal sentence as well is the word قومٌ. لِأَنَّ التَّقْدِيرْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ, because the word قَوْم is in the beginning of the passage here, however, it is understood to be the predicate that you are a group of people. Not a group of people something, but you are, and that is not found in the passage or in the text of the passage, and the word a group of people is the predicate. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. And my apologies for those of you who are not studying Arabic, and as a result, you would have no idea what I've been talking about, possibly for the past 2 minutes. Now we're moving into more meaning-related things that are not so much related to Arabic grammar and structure. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. So he rushed off quickly to his family. Who's that? Abraham. رَاغَ إِنْ سَلَّ بِخُفْيَةٍ وَسُرْعَةٍ. رَاغَ means to rush off and slip away in secret and quickly. وَذَٰلِكَ مِنْ حُسْنِ ضِيَافَتِهِ. And that was from his good manners in hosting. لَمْ يَقُلْ انْتَظِرُوا آتِي لَكُمْ بِالطَّعَامِ. He didn't say, wait for me please, I will come with some food. وَلَمْ يَقُمْ مُتَبَاطِئًا كَأَنَّمَا يَدْفَعُ دَفْعًا. And he didn't stand up slowly as if he's, you know, taking some effort to go and get the food. وَإِنَّمَا قَامَ بِسُرْعَةٍ مُنْسَلًّا. Rather, he stood up quickly and rushed off and slipped away. لِأَنْ لَا يَقُومُوا إِذَا رَأَوْهُ ذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. So that they would not get up to leave once they saw him quickly going off to his family. فَكَأَنَّهُ أَخْفَى الْأَمْرَ عَنْهُمْ. So it's as if he hid the idea or the concept of what was happening from them, meaning he was going to get food quickly. أَهْلِهِ, his family, يعني أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ, the family of his household. فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ, and he came with some meat, some very juicy, big piece of meat. وَفِي آيَةٍ أُخْرَى بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيذٍ أي مَشْوِي. In another verse, Allah that describes the same piece of meat as being barbecued or grilled. وَاللَّحْمُ إِذَا شُوِيَ يَكُونُ أَطْعَمَ وَأَلَذٍ. And meat, if it is grilled, then it is more tasty and more delicious. لِأَنَّ طَعْمَهُ يَبْقَى فِيهِ لَا يَمْتَزِجُ بِالْمَاء. It doesn't mix in with the water that would boil it. بِخِلَافِ مَا إِذَا طُبِخَ يَمْتَزِجُ بَعْضُهُ بِالْمَاء. If it's cooked in a pot, then you find that it mixes with the water فتقل لذته, and it becomes that the taste of it is decreased, or it's not as nice. لكن إذا كان مشويا صار أطيب وأحسن. However, if it was grilled, then this is the kind of meat that is better and more tasty. فجاء بعجل سمين, يعني أنه عليه الصلاة والسلام. The meaning of this verse, he came back with a piece of meat that was robust. يعني, it means that he, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لا يتخير لضيوفه, لا يتخير لضيوف البهائم العجفاء الهزيلة. He would not choose for his guests old, dried up animals, or old, dried up meat, the meat that would produce, the animals that would produce meat that is old and not very delicious. وإنما يتخير لهم البهائم السمينة. He would go out and he would choose from his livestock animals that were plump and fat. لِأَنَّهَا أَلَذُّ وَأَطْيَبُ وَأَنْفَعُ, because those are more delicious, better and more beneficial. وَاخْتِيَارُ الْعِجَلِ, and choosing veal, إِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْ عَادَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. The choice of veal is either due to that being the custom that he had, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, and يُكْرِمَ النَّاسَ بِهَذَا, that he would honor his guests with this kind of meat. أَوْ أَنَّهُ يُكْرِمُ الضُّيُوفَ بِحَسَبِ مَا تَقْتَضِيهِ الْحَالُ, or it's possible that this is just what he would normally, he would honor his guests with whatever the situation would call for. فَإِذَا كَانُوا كَثِيرِينَ أَتَى بِالْعِجَلِ, so if the guests were many, he would slaughter a calf. وَإِذَا كَانُوا أَقَلَّ أَتَى بِالْغَنَمِ, and if it were a group of less people, then he would slaughter only a sheep. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ حَسَبَ عَادَةِ الْكُرَمَاءِ, and similar manners of choosing the animal to slaughter for the size of the group of guests, as is known in the customs of the generous people who honor their guests. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, and he pushed this meat up close to them, meaning he placed it close to them, very close to them, and he said to them, will you not eat? أَيْ لَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ بَعِيدًا, he didn't put this food far away. وَيَقُولُ قُومُوا إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكُمْ, and say to them, get up and go over to the food. بَلْ خَدَمَهُمْ حَتَّى جَعَلَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, rather he served them until, or so much so, that he placed the food right in front of them directly. وَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ, and then he pushed it directly and closely right in front of them. قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, he said, shall you not eat? Will you not eat? وَلَمْ يَقُلْ كُلُوا وَإِنَّمَا, and he did not say to them, eat. إِنَّمَا عَرَضَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَرْضًا, he only put the food in front of them and nobly displayed it for them. لِأَنَّ هَذَا أَبْلَغُ فِي الْإِكْرَامِ, that's something that is more, it shows hosting and it shows the honoring of a guest even more. وَالْعَرَضُ أَخَفُّ وَأَلْطَفُ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ, and showing and displaying the food and putting it in front of the person is lighter and more delicate and more soft-mannered than ordering someone to eat. إِذْ إِنَّهُ لَوْ قَالَ كُلُوا, if he said to them, eat, كَانَ يَحْتَمِلُ أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَسْتَعْلِيَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُوَجِّهَ الْأَمْرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that could possibly be understood if he said, eat, that he wanted to be a person of authority ordering them around, or, you know, ordering them to do things. لَكِنْ قَالْ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, he said to them, won't you eat? وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَارَتَيْنِ فِي الرِّفْقِ, and the difference, وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَارَتَيْنِ فِي الرِّفْقِ, the difference between these two expressions, meaning كُلُوا, eat, and أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, is in the gentleness of the manners. أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, will you not eat? أَرَقُّ وَأَرْفَقُ, it is softer, lighter, and more gentle. مَسْأَلَة, our Shaykh says here, here's an issue, and this is an ishara. This means, here's an issue that may be related to this Quranic passage in an indirect way. And it is. And our Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, would often stop and say mas'ala, would often stop and alert the students to important manners related to the lesson he was teaching. And this is an example. Mas'ala hal naqulu inna sunnah wal afdala anna al insana idha da'a duyufan aw atahu duyufun. Should we say that the sunnah and the better thing to do when a person has invited guests or guests come to him, and yuqarriba ilayhim at-ta'ama fi majlis al-julus, and that he is to bring the food directly to them and place it close to them in the place of sitting? أو نقول, or should we say, هذا يختلف باختلاف الأحوال, that this is different based on the differing circumstances. الثاني هو الأظهر, the second idea seems to be more clearly correct. لأن عموم قول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, because the generality of his statement, the statement of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest. يدل على أنك تكرمهم بما جرت العادة بإكرامهم به. This tends to show us, this proves to us, that you are to honor your guests with whatever the customs of your time and place allow hosting and good manners to represent or to be represented by. وَعِنْدَنَا الْآنَ إِذَا دَاعُوتَ أَصْحَابَكَ وَأَصْدِقَاءَكَ وَهُمْ قِلَّةٌ. And according to our time, in our culture, if you invite your companions and friends and they're a small group, فَلَا يُعِدُّونَ تَقْدِيمَ طَعَامٍ فِي مَكَانِ جُلُوسِهِمْ إِهَانَةً. They don't consider, in this case, giving food or presenting food in the very place where they're sitting, meaning before the food is served, as any type of insult or disrespect. لِأَنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَصْدِقَاءُكُمْ. Because these are your brothers and your friends. لَكِنْ لَوْ نَزَلَ بِكَ ضَيْفٌ أَوْ دَعَوْتَ ضَيْفًا لَيْسَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ صِلَةٌ تَامَّةٌ. However, if a guest comes to stay with you, or you invite a guest that is not of a very close relationship with you, فَإِنَّهُ فِي عُرْفِ النَّاسِ الْآنَ لَيْسَ مِنْ إِكْرَامِهِ أَنْ تُقَدِّمَ طَعَامَ فِي مَحَلِّ الْجُلُوسِ. Then according to our customs, and he's speaking about Saudi Arabia in this time, is that you do not honor him by bringing the food directly to the place where you're sitting before the food is served. Allahumma illa lidurura. Except, O Allah, except in one case, in the case of necessity. إذا لم يكن عندك مكان, when you don't have enough space. والآن الإكرام أن تجعل الطعام في مكانه. ثم إذا أراد أن يأكله يقول تفضلوا ألا تتفضلوا أو ما أشبه ذلك من الكلمات المتداولة. And the custom now to honor guests is to place the food in its place separately from the place where the guests are sitting. And then when it's time to eat, you say, go forth, or why don't you go forth? Why don't we all go to eat now? Or similar statements that are used by the people in their culture. فَالْمُهِمْ. So what's important here, أَنَّ قَوْلَهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَىٰ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. The statement of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, narrating what Ibrahim said, فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. When he put the food close to them, and he said to them, will you not eat? يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُجَعَلَ هَذَا حَسَبَ عَادَةِ النَّاسِ. It's important or befitting that we understand this to be in accordance to the custom of the people. إِذَا كَانَ مِنْ الْإِكْرَامِ أَنْ تَأْتِيَ بِالطَّعَامِ إِلَى مَحَلِّ جُلُوسِهِمْ فَأْتِي بِهِ. If it's from the custom, it's from the customs and the manners of hosting that you bring food to the place of sitting, then do it. Bring the food to the place of sitting. وَإِذَا كَانَ مِنَ الْإِكْرَامِ أَنْ تَجَعَلَهُ فِي مَحَلٍ آخَرٍ فَفْعَلٍ. And if it is the case, and the custom of your people, that you bring the food and set it up in a separate dining area, then do that. دَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ. The evidence for that is his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest. And the meaning there is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it open, left it unrestricted. So that means it's to be restricted or understood specifically in light of your custom. Now, the Shaykh goes on to the next ayat, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَ. So he felt a kind of fear from them. أَيْ أَحَسَ بِنَفْسِهِ بِخِيفَةٍ مِنْهُمْ. He felt within himself a kind of fear from them. وَسَبَبُ تِلْكَ الْخِيفَةِ أَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَمَّا قَدَّمَ إِلَيْهِمُ الطَّعَامَ لَمْ يَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ. And the reason for that feeling of fear was that when he, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, the Prophet Abraham, put the food in front of them, they did not eat it. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. So he felt a kind of fear. He felt a feeling of fear from them. لِأَنَّ الْعَادَةِ إِنْ أَنَّ الضَّيْفَ يَأْكُلْ مِمَّا قَدَّمَ لَهُ الْمُضِيفِ. What seems to be customary is that a guest eats what the host puts in front of him. لَكِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ مَلَائِكَ لَكِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمَلَائِكَ. However, those guests were angels. لَمْ يَأْكُلُوا. They didn't eat. لِأَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ صُمْدٌ أَيْ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ أَجْوَافٌ. The angels do not have inner stomachs. They don't have insides. كَمَا جَاءَ ذَلِكَ مَأْثُورٌ عَنَ السَّلَفِ. And that has been narrated from some of the Salaf. وَلِهَذَا لَا يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَىٰ أَكْلٍ وَلَا إِلَىٰ شُرْبٍ. And this is why they don't have any need to eat or drink. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. So he became afraid of them. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said to him, don't be afraid. طَمْأَنُوهُ. They made him relaxed. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said, don't be afraid. لَمَّا رَأَوْا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الْإِنْكَارِ وَالْخَوْفِ. When they saw on his face signs of disturbance and fear. وَكُلُّ إِنسَانٍ يُعْرَفُ حَالُ قَلْبِ الْمَرْءِ أَوْ يَعْرِفُ حَالَ قَلْبِ الْمَرْءِ الْمُوَاجَهِ لَهُ. Every person knows the situation of the heart or the state of the person's heart who he's talking to. هَلْ هُوَ فِي سُرُورٍ. Is he a person who's happy? هَلْ هُوَ فِي انشِرَاحٍ. Is he a person who's relaxed? هَلْ هُوَ خَائِفٌ هَلْ هُوَ مُطْمَئِنٌ. Is he afraid? Is he at rest and peaceful? لِأَنَّ هَذَا أَمْرٌ مَعْلُومٌ بِالْفِطْرَةِ. Because this is something known clearly, instinctively. وَلَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ كَبِيرِ فِرَاسَةٍ. There's no real expertise required here or practice to get to know that idea. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. And these angels gave him glad tidings of a boy who will be knowledgeable. Al-bishara hiya al-ikhbaru bima yasir. The glad tidings are basically news of good things that will make someone happy. Ay akhbaruhu bima yusirruhu wa huwa al-ghulam al-alim. They gave him good tidings of what would make him happy with regards to a knowledgeable child. وَكَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ قَدْ بَلَغَ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ عِتِيَّ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُولَدَ لَهُ. Ibrahim had gotten very old before he had any children. فَبَشَّرُوهُ بِهَذَا الْغُلَامُ. So they gave him tidings of this son that he shall have. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِأَنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ أَيْ سَيَكُونُ عَالِمًا. They gave him tidings that he will be knowledgeable, meaning that he's going to be a scholar. He's going to be someone of knowledge. لأن الله تعالى جعله من الأنبياء. Because Allah Ta'ala had made him one of the prophets. والأنبياء هم أعلم الخلق بالله عز وجل وأسمائه وصفاته وأحكامه وأفعاله. And the prophets, they are the most knowledgeable of all of the creation regarding Allah. Regarding the book of Allah, regarding Allah, His names, His attributes, His rulings, and His actions. وَهَذَا الْغُلَامُ الْعَلِيمُ غَيْرُ الْغُلَامِ الْحَلِيمُ. And this غُلَام, the son of Abraham that is knowledgeable is not the one that is well-mannered. Meaning there's another one described as being halim, sublime in his manners. لِأَنَّ فِي الْقُرْآنِ أَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ بُشِّرَ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ فِي آيَتَيْنِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. As there is in the Qur'an information about Abraham being given glad tidings of a knowledgeable son in two verses of the Book of Allah. وَبُشِّرَ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ فِي آيَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. And he was also given glad tidings of a son who is halim in another verse, or in one verse. And halim means, again, gentle-mannered or sublime. وَهُمَا غُلَامَانِ. And they are two separate children. أَمَّا الْغُلَامُ الْحَلِيمُ فَإِنَّهُ إِسْمَعِيلُ أَبُو الْعَرَبُ. As for the sublime son, well-mannered, gently-mannered son, then he is Ismail, the forefather of the Arabs. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ الْعَلِيمُ. As for the knowledgeable son, فَإِنَّهُ إِسْحَاقُ أَبُو بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ. Then he was Ishaq, the forefather or grandfather of the children of Israel. As a note from myself here to add, the intention is not when referring to Ismail as Halim, that he is well-mannered. There is no intention here in saying Ishaq was not well-mannered. And the same thing for saying that Ishaq was Alim, knowledgeable. It is not meant that Ismail was ignorant or not a person of knowledge, as they were both prophets. Back to the words of our Shaykh, وَلِذَلِكَ تَجِدُ قِصَّتَهُمَا مُخْتَلِفَةً. And this is why you find the stories of these two boys of Abraham, the Halim and the Alim, the well-mannered, subtle-mannered one, and the knowledgeable one, you find their stories having distinct differences in them. وَلَقَدْ أَبْعَدَ عَنَ الصَّوَابِ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْغُلَامَ الْحَلِيمَ هُوَ الْغُلَامُ الْعَلِيمُ. The one who said that the Halim son, the well-mannered son, is the same as the Alim, the knowledgeable one. They are the same person. They are two different descriptions of the same person. That person who says that, someone who holds this position, is not upon the correct position, as according to our Shaykh here. بَلْ وَنَصٌ سَرِيحٌ فِي سُورَةِ الصَّافَاتِ أَنَّهُمَا غُلَامَانِ مُخْتَلِفَانِ. He said, in fact, there is a clear, explicit proof in Surah As-Safat that they are two separate boys. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمَّا ذَكَرَ قِصَّةَ الذَّبِيحِ فِي Surah As-Safat. When Allah mentioned the story of the sacrificial son in Surah As-Safat, or the sacrifice to be offered in the Surah As-Safat, قَالَ بَعْدَهَا, Allah said, after that story was completed, وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقَ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And we gave him glad tidings of Ishaq, a prophet amongst the righteous. From the verse number 112 of As-Safat. فَكَيْفَ يُبَشَّرُ بِمَنْ أُمِرَ بِذَبْحِهِ. So how could he have been given glad tidings of someone he was ordered to slaughter? وَكَانَ عِنْدَهُ وَبَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. And he had already been living with him, and he had already reached a certain age. كل هذا مما يدل على أن الغلام الحليم غير الغلام العليم. All of this shows that the sublime or the well-mannered son is different than the knowledgeable son. بشروه بغلام عليم. Here he was given glad tidings of a knowledgeable son. وهذه بشارة بثلاثة أشياء. This is a glad tidings of three things in one. أولاً بأنه سيأتيه مولود يصل إلى أن يكون غلاما. Firstly, that he's going to have a son that's going to live to be a boy, meaning he's going to live and not die in infancy. ثانياً أن هذا المولود ذكر لا أنثى لقوله غلام. This newborn shall be a boy and not a girl, based on the description that Allah has used. The word is ghulam, which means a boy. And the opposite of the ghulam in Arabic is the jariya, the girl. ثالثاً, أنه عليم أي ذو علم. He is knowledgeable. He will be knowledgeable, a person of knowledge. وكل هذه البشارات عظيمة. All of these pieces of good news, they are great. كل واحدة تكفي أن تكون بشارة. Each one of them by themselves is sufficient as great news. فأقبلت امرأته في صرة. So, his wife turned away in a cry of happiness. His wife, امرأته هذه is Sarah, أم إسحاق. We call her in English Sarah, the mother of إسحاق. أقبلت لما سمعت البشرى في صرة أي في صيحة سرور. She turned away when she heard the good news in a cry of happiness, in a burst of happiness, you could say. لأنها جاءتها هذه البشرى بعد أن تتقدمت. بعد أن تقدمت بها السن تصيح وكأنها والله أعلم تقول غلام غلام. So she was given glad tidings after having been elderly and gotten very old. So she cried out, or she bursted in a phrase that is of happiness, as if she was saying, and Allah knows best, a boy, to be very happy. فصكت وجهها. And she slapped her cheek. أي ضربته بيدها كالمتعجبة. So she slapped herself in the side of the head lightly as a person who is shocked and astonished by something. كما يصنع الناس إلى اليوم. Just like people still do today. إذا أتاهم خبر نادى الله أكبر وضرب على وجهه. When news comes to them, they say الله أكبر and they slap themselves aside their head. They put their hands on their heads in a way of shock. And that's known to us in our culture as well. وقالت عجوز عقيم. And she said, a barren old woman? عجوز خبر مبتدأ محذوف. The word عجوز here is another predicate to a subject that was not mentioned. وتقدير أنا عجوز عقيم. I am an elderly woman who's barren. فكأنما تعجبت. أن تحصل لها البشرى بهذا الغلام العليم بعد أن تقدمت بها السن وعقمت من الولد. So it's as if she was very happy and overjoyed that this good news would be given to her about this knowledgeable son after she had grown old and become barren, unable to bear children. ولكنهم بيّنوا لها السبب الوحيد الذي به وجد هذا الولد. However, they explained to her the one reason that is the cause of the existence of this child. قالوا فقالوا كذلك قال ربك. Thus says your Lord. أي مثل ما قلنا وبشرنا به. Like what we have said and given glad tidings of. قال الله عز وجل. That's what Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said. Meaning this good news is from Allah. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ. Take a moment and look at this statement. قَالَ رَبُّكِ. Your Lord. رَبُّكِ. The Lord of you. حَيْثُ أَضَافَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةَ هُنَا إِلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ الْعَجُوزِ الْعَقِيمِ الْكَبِيرَةِ. That Allah as a Lord was being made directly related to this woman using the Arabic construction of إِضَافَ. رَبُّكَ. رَبُّ النَّاسِ, the Lord of the people. رَبُّكِ, your Lord. Now there's something very special about this our Shaykh is going to share with us here. This old barren woman, elderly, إِشَارَةً إِلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ عِنَايَةِ اللَّهِ بِهَا, indicating that there is some very special care from Allah for this woman. لِأَنَّ إِضَافَةَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ إِلَىٰ الشَّخْصِ الْمُعَيَّنِ تَكُونُ رُبُوبِيَّةً خَاصَّةً. So to mention that the Rabb of so-and-so specifically, mentioned by Allah, means that there is a very special lordship, a very special relationship of lordship that exists between that person and Allah. وَالرُّبُوبِيَّةُ الْعَامَّةُ لِكُلِّ أَحَدٍ. However, the lordship of Allah in a general sense is for every human being, or for every person, or for everyone. وَاللَّهُ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is the Lord of everything. وَالْخَاصَّةُ لَيْسَتْ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمَنْ كَانَ خَاصًّا بِاللَّهِ. But the specific, specified kind of lordship, as is in the case here, is not for just anyone, except those whom Allah Ta'ala has considered special. قال الله عز وجل. Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They said, meaning the magicians of Fir'aun, when they submitted and repented to Allah, they said, we have believed in the Lord of all that exists, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. That's in that is referring to the story of Moses and Aaron going to Fir'aun. Ar-Rububiyya al-Amma, the general rububiyya in that statement, the general lordship of Allah over everything is بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When they said, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, we have believed in the Lord of everything that exists. That's general. And nothing specific is indicated there, and nothing is given any special significance by that phrase. But look at this phrase, وَالرُّبُوبِيَّةُ الْخَاصَّةُ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. The special lordship that is distinctive and a special sign of significance is found in this statement, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. هُنَا قَالُوا لَهَا. And now, moving on, they said to her, قَالَ رَبُّكِ. They said to the wife of Ibrahim, such says your Lord, رَبُّكِ, with that idafa that we talked about, that Allah is the Lord of you, the lady. مِنْ بَابِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ أَلَّتِي تَقْتَضِي عِنَايَةً خَاصَّةً. From the angle of the special kind of lordship of Allah that indicates a special care given by Allah Ta'ala and special status. قَالُوا كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. The 30th verse and the last one that we are studying today, insha'Allah Ta'ala, is the statement of Allah, thus says your Lord, verily He is Al-Hakim, the one who is most wise and most effective in his ruling, most dominant in his ruling, and al-alim, the one who is most knowledgeable. In شئت فقول الحكيم, if you would like, and here's some discussion of i'rab again, Arabic structure, if you choose, there is one way you can understand this passage, saying, meaning al-hakim is khabru inna, wahuwa ضَمِيرُ فَصْلٍ لَا مَحَلَّ لَهُ مِنَ الْإِعْرَابِ. You could say that innahu al-hakim, that huwa here is just a repetitive statement that doesn't affect the structure or the i'rab or the grammar, the way we consider the words in diagramming the words of a sentence. وَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَقُلْ هُوَ مُبْتَدَى. You could also say that huwa is a mubtada, it's the beginning of a sentence. Huwa al-hakimu, al-hakim here would be the khabar, the predicate. والجملة, and he is al-hakim, becomes the khabar, the predicate for inna. Innahu, then there is a predicate, huwa al-hakimul alim. He is the most wise and all-knowing. Now to leave the grammar here, وَهُنَا قَدَّمَ الْحَكِيمُ عَلَى الْعَلِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned al-hakim first before al-alim. And what you normally find, this is from me, within the Quranic passages is al-hakim comes after al-alim, al-alim al-hakim. Here's al-hakim, al-alim. I'm sorry, that in some other passages, not that it's the predominant way, but in other passages you find alim, hakim, and now you find here al-hakim al-alim. لِأَنَّ الْمَقَامَ, as our shaykh explains, because this situation, يَقْتَضِي هُنَا تَقْدِيمَ الْحِكْمَةِ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. Because this the situation is more properly understood by having wisdom before knowledge, or wisdom is given priority in this situation over knowledge. وَالْحِكْمَةُ هُنَا فِي شَيْئَيْنِ. And wisdom here is understood in two ways. أَوَّلًا تَأْخِيرُ الْوِلَادَةِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِهَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ. That the delaying of having a baby for this woman, the wife of Abraham. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يُؤَخِّرْ وِلَادَتَهَا إِلَىٰ أَن تَبْلُغَ الْعَجَزِ إِلَّا لِحِكْمَةٍ. That he did not delay her having children to this old age except for a certain intended point of wisdom. ثانيا, and the second benefit, Or the second way this wisdom manifests in this story, كونها ولدت بعد أن أيست واعتقدت أنها عقيم. The fact that she gave birth after having given up and after having believed that she was barren. فهاهنا حكمتان. So there are two points of wisdom here. حكمة سابقة وحكمة لاحقة. One hikmah was previously established and one hikmah, one point of wisdom was going to come later. وَمِن ثَمَّ قَدَّمَ اسْمَ الْحَكِيمِ عَلَى اسْمِ الْعَلِيمِ. And this, from this angle, the word Al-Hakim or the name of Allah, Al-Hakim was mentioned first over the name Al-Alim.
وَالْقُرْآنُ إِذَا جَمَعَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنَ الْإِسْمَيْنِ الْكَرِيمَيْنِ.
And the Qur'an, if Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an these two names, these two honorable names, Al-Alimu wal-Hakimu, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, يُقَدِّمُ غَالِبًا Al-Alim. Normally, it's Al-Alim that's mentioned first out of the two names. لَكِنْ هُنَا قَدَّمَ الْحَكِيمُ. However, in this occasion, he mentioned Al-Hakim first, لِأَنَّ الْمَقَامُ يَقْتَضِي ذَلِكَ. Because the story is related to that, or the story is understood through that, that there is a lot of wisdom in the story of giving the lady glad tidings of a son and everything related to that.
إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ.
Verily he is الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. Verily he is all-wise and all-knowing.
وَأَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّ مَعْنَ الْحَكِيمُ أَنَّهُ الْمُتَّصِفُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ.
Most people, they understand that the word Hakim, the most wise, as I've translated it many times, is the one who is described with wisdom, as I've said, the most wise, or the all-wise.
وَالْحِكْمَةُ هِيَ وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَوَاضِعِهِ.
And wisdom is to put everything in its place.
وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاقِعَ أَنَّ الْحَكِيمَ لَهُ مَعْنَيَانِ.
However, the reality is the name of Allah, Al-Hakim, has two meanings.
حَكِيمٌ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ,
wisdom,
وَحَكِيمٌ مِنَ الْحُكُمِ,
and also authoritative power.
فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَكِيمٌ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ.
So Allah the Mighty and Majestic is wise as it relates to wisdom. He is حَكِيم from wisdom.
لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْحَكَمُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ.
As Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, He is the one who will officiate between His servants. He is the one who will judge between His servants.
وَالْحَاكِمُ فِي الْعِبَادِ هُوَ حَاكِمٌ فِيهِمْ.
And the one who deals between His servants, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, with justice, or the one who judges between His servants, he is someone who deals with wisdom in that.
وَهُوَ الْحَكَمُ بَيْنَهُمْ.
And he is the one who has authority amongst them.
وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ.
And Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, says in the Noble Qur'an,
وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ.
And who is better than Allah as an authority for those who have certainty?
أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ.
And isn't Allah the wisest or the most authoritative of judges?
وَهَذَا إِسْتِفْهَامٌ لِلْتَقْرِيرِ.
يعني أن الله تعالى أحكم الحاكمين. The question here is to approve of a concept. As Allah, isn't Allah the wisest of judges or the most authoritative of judges? Meaning that Allah is the wisest of judges.
وَكِلَاهُمَا فِي مَحَلِّهِ الْمُنَاسِبِ.
And both meanings are in their proper places. Meaning, Allah is Hakim through wisdom and He is Hakim through authority. And they both have their appropriate understandings when we understand Allah to be Hakim.
فَفِي سُورَةِ الْمَائِدَةِ.
For example, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Allah mentioned,
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
In another verse, الظَّالِمُ. In another verse, الْفَاسِقُونَ. And those who do not judge by what Allah has sent down, then those are the disbelievers, the people of kufr, or the oppressors, the people of dhulm, and the people of fisq, the disobedient ones.
وتتابعت الآيات حتى قال, and the ayats go on and on mentioning that until Allah says, أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون. Is it the ruling of jahiliyyah that they seek after? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. And who is better in judgment than Allah for people who have conviction? فَكَأَنَّ الْمَقَامَ مَقَامُ مُفَاضَرَةِ بَيْنَ الْأَحْكَامِ. So this particular instance, it seems to be that there is مُفَاضَرَة, there is degrees of something, of rulings being better or being more appropriate than others. فَبَيَّنَ أَنَّ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُ الْأَحْكَامِ. So Allah clarified that the ruling given by Allah, it is the best of all rulings. لَكِنَّ فِي سُورَةِ التِّينِ. However, in Surah At-Teen, الْمَقَامُ مَقَامُ سُلْطَ وَقُوَّةِ. The situation or the context is the context of authority and power. وَاللَّهُ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. يعني أَنَّ حُكْمَهُ نَافِذٌ وَسُلْطَتُهُ تَامَّةٌ. And the meaning of Allah being the most authoritative of all judges is that His rule is to be carried out and His authority is complete without deficiency. وَلَا أَحَدَ يُعَارِضُ حُكْمَهُ أَبَدًا مَهْمَ قَوِيَتْ شَوْكَتُهُ. And no one can oppose His rules that He declares and that He implements, no matter how strong and how much desire he has. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْ عَادٍ. Look at what Allah the Most High said about the people of Ad. مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. They said, who is stronger than us and more powerful? يعني لا أحد أشد منا قوة. لا أحد أشد منا قوة. There's no one more powerful than us. فقال الله تعالى, أولم يروا أن الله الذي خلقهم هو أشد منهم. Don't they see that Allah, the one who created them, He is more stronger than them. وعذبهم بألطف الأشياء. بألطف الأشياء. عذبهم بالريح. Allah punished them with the most delicate of things. He punished them with winds. الهواء اللطيف. The delicate, gentle winds. الذي لا تحس بملمسة. That which you don't even feel touching you. وإن كان قويا بأن يدفع كل شيء. Even if it, when these winds become strong, they push away everything. وَهُوَ أَقْوَى مِنَ الْمَاءِ كَمَا هُوَ مَعْرُوفٌ. Winds that are violent, storm winds, are stronger than water, large waves of water, as is well known. وَهَذَا الْهَوَى اللَّطِيفُ أَهْلَكَ بِهِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. And these winds that are sublime, subtle, Allah destroyed by way of them the people who are saying, who is stronger than us? أَهْلَكَهُمْ بِهِ. He destroyed them by those winds. فَالْحَاصِلُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. So then we see clearly that Allah, His ruling is the most authoritative and effective ruling. حُكْمُهُ نَافِذٌ صَادِرٌ عَنْ قُوَّةٍ وَسُلْطَانٍ. His ruling is going to be implemented and it's going to take place and it happens from power and from authority. ثُمَّ إِنَّ أَحْكَمَ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Then the phrase being the most authoritative of all rulers, تَضَمَّنَ أَيْضًا حُسْنَ الْحُكْمِ. It also includes the beauty of good rulings. فَصَارَ حُكْمُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And therefore, the ruling of Allah, the mighty and majestic, يَتَضَمَّنُ أَنَّهُ الْحَاكِمُ فِي الْعِبَادِ وَأَنَّهُ الْحَاكِمُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ. It includes that He is the ruler amongst His servants. He is the judge between His servants. وَأَنَّ حُكْمَهُ أَحْسَنُ الْأَحْكَامِ. And His rulings and judgments or verdicts, they are the best of all rulings. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And He is the most authoritative of all judges. وَالْحِكْمَةُ الْبَالِغَةُ لِلَّهِ. And the most boundless wisdom belongs to Allah. وَلَا شَيْءَ مِنَ الْأَفْعَالِ الْقَائِمَةِ بِالْوُجُودِ أَحْكَمَ مِنْ حِكْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And there is no wisdom in the creation that exists that is wiser than the wisdom of Allah. وَإِذَا آمَنْتَ بِهَذَا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنِ. And if you believed in all of this, O dear believer, سهل عليك أمور كثيرة. Many things will be easy for you to grasp. تشكل على كثير من الناس. Things which are difficult for many people to handle. منها بعض الأحكام الشرعية لا يدرك الناس أو أكثرهم أو بعضهم حكمته. There are amongst them some verdicts and rulings in the Sharia, in the Islamic legislation, that some people just don't grasp, or people don't grasp, or many of them, or some of them. فهل نقول, should we say, إذا لم يدرك الحكمة أنه لا حكمة لها, if the wisdom of something and the reason for it is not understood, then it is without wisdom. أو نقول إن لها حكمة, or should we say rather it has a hikmah, it has a wisdom and a reason. لكن أقولنا قاصرة. However, our intellects are deficient. نقول لها حكمة ولكن عقولنا قاصرة. We say there is indeed a reason and a wisdom behind it. However, we are unable to grasp it with our minds. وَإِذَا آمَنَّا بِهَذَا الْإِيمَانِ, if we believe with this iman, اطْمَأَنَّنَا إِلَى كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, it allows us to relax and understand with a peaceful chest many legislative rulings or affairs. أَلَّتِي تَخْفَى عَلَيْنَا حِكْمَتُهَا, that perhaps we don't understand the reason behind them or the wisdom behind them. فَنَحْنُ لَا نُدْرِكُ الْحِكْمَةَ فِي كَوْنِ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ خَمْسًا. For example, we don't realize the reason, we're not able to grasp the complete wisdom behind the five daily prayers being five in number. أو أنها سبع عشر ركع, or that it is 17 rak'ahs for the entire obligatory prayers, all five of them, in one day. وأشياء كثيرة من الأمور الشرعية لا ندرك الإنسان حكمتها. And there are so many things that relate to the Islamic legislation that a person just is not capable of grasping the reasons, the true wisdom behind it. لكن إذا آمنت أن الله حكيم, however, if you believe that Allah is Hakim, that He is most wise, آمنت بأنه لا بد لهذا الشيء من حكمة تقتضيه. If you believe that Allah is all wise, then you believe as well that there is, of course, some kind of wisdom that is connected to this idea. كذلك في الأمور القدرية. Likewise, with the happenings that happen around us from the qadr of Allah. قد يرسل الله سبحانه وتعالى عذابا يشمل الصالح والطالح. Allah could send a punishment upon some good people and some bad people as well, all together. وقد يرسل الله عذابا على قوم لا تتوقع أن يصيبهم العذاب. Or Allah could send down a punishment upon some people that you do not expect them to be stricken with punishment. فهل تقول ما الحكمة؟ Do you ask in this case, what is the wisdom behind this? أو تقول, or do you say, إن الله عز وجل لا بد أن يكون تقديره لهذا عن حكمة. Or that I know, and I am sure that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, of course there is some kind of wisdom and reason behind this happening. ولذلك أقول, and this is why I say, إن الواجب علينا فيما أمر الله به من الشرائع, that which is an obligation upon us as it relates to the legislative matters, وفيما قضاه من الأقدار, and as well as it relates to matters of the qadr that take place, events that happen, أن نستسلم غاية التسليم, that we submit fully with total submission, وأن لا نعترض قال الله تعالى, and that we do not reject or fight back or have a problem or argue or question the wisdom. As Allah the Most High has said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. I swear by your Lord, Allah says in the Quran, they shall not believe until they make you the ultimate judge in all affairs that they differ in between themselves. Then they find within themselves no harm, no problem in applying what you have decided, and they submit with total, full submission. أقسم الله عز وجل. Allah has taken an oath and He has sworn by the idea أنه لا يمكن لأحد لأحدٍ. It's not possible for anyone أن يؤمن إلا بهذه الشروط الثلاثة. For anyone to be a believer except that three conditions are fulfilled. خمس دقائق الله يبارك فيك. هاي الدرس هاي. الله يحفظك. طيب خمس دقائق انتهى ان شاء الله يبارك فيك. اقسم الله عز وجل انه لا يمكن لاحد ان يؤمن الا بهذه الشروط الثلاثه. الله جزاك الله خيرا. Allah has sworn that a person will not be a believer except with these three conditions. هي and they are. ان يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. That they make the Prophet the judge in all affairs of dispute amongst them. وثاني أن لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا. And that they don't find any problem within themselves about that. يعني لا تضيق صدورهم بحكم الله. That they have no problem. خمس دقائق يا شيخ. الله يبارك فيك. And that they have no problem in the judgment that you have made. فلا عفوا. الثالث أن يسلموا تسليما. And the third condition is that they submit fully. وأكد هذا المصدر تسليما يعني تسليما تاما. And Allah had mentioned the مصدر here. يسلموا تسليما. Absolute, total submission. فلا يتهاون الإنسان ويتباطأ في تنفيذ حكم الله. So don't let a person be lazy in how he implements the ruling of Allah. فإذا وجدت من نفسك عيبا يتعلق بهذه الأمور الثلاثة فصحح إيمانك. If you find some deficiency as it relates to these three affairs, then correct your iman. Then correct your iman. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ أَنَّكَ تَوَدُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ تَحَاكُمُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَصَحِّحِ الْإِيمَانِ. If you find that you have within yourself a desire that a judgment is made from other than Allah and His Messenger in a case, then correct your iman. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ مِنْ قِبَلَكَ أَنَّكَ لَا تُرِيدُ أن إلا حكم الله ورسوله لكن يضيق صدرك بحكم الله ورسوله. If you find that you don't want any judgment except the judgment of Allah and His Messenger. However, you find difficulty within your chest accepting the rule of Allah and His Messenger. تحدث نفسك أنك لا يمكن تتحاكم إلى غير الله. Then speak to yourself, within yourself, that you will not go to anyone for judgment غير الله ورسوله. Other than Allah and His Messenger. لكن يضيق صدرك, that your chest is finding it difficult. فأنت ناقص الإيمان. That you're weak or deficient in your iman. وإذا كنت لا يضيق صدرك ولا تريد التحاكم لغير الله ورسوله. If you find that there's no problem in your chest and you don't want other than the ruling of Allah and His Messenger in your affair. وأنت منشرح الصدر لحكم الله ورسوله. And you are completely at ease with the ruling of Allah and His Messenger. لكن تتباطأ وتتهاون فأنت ناقص الإيمان. In this case, you are lazy and you are slow in your implementation of those rulings, then you are still deficient in your iman. اقرأ قوله تعالى اقرأ قول الله تعالى. Read as a proof the statement of Allah the Most High. ونقلب أفئدتهم وأبصارهم كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. And we turn about their chests and their eyesights as if they had never believed the first time. وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And we abandon them in their acts of oppression, wandering blindly. لَمَّا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. When they didn't believe in it when it first came to them. وَلَمْ يَقْبَلُوهُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ مَرَّةً. When they didn't accept it, when it first came to them, صارت والعياذ بالله قلوبهم متقلبة. Their affair or their hearts became hearts that waver and turn about and turn upside down. وتركهم الله في طغيانهم يعمهون. So Allah then abandoned them in their acts of oppression, stumbling about blindly. ولهذا يجب عليك أيها المؤمن. And thus, it is an obligation upon you, dear believer, أن تبادر بانقياد تام لحكم الله تعالى القدري. That you rush to implement or submit with a total submission to the ruling of Allah, the Most High, as it relates to his qadr. And with that, we apologize for going over our time limit, sending salat and salam upon the finest of creation, our messenger Muhammad, and upon his family and companions, and may he grant them all peace. And we will continue insha'Allah ta'ala with the, or not with more ayats from this surah, but with a special lesson about the manners of hosting as brought to us by our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Before we continue in taking more ayats, we will take a small lesson in manners from our Shaykh in our next meeting insha'Allah ta'ala, and continue with the verses in the following week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.